It's The Bottom Line on News Radio 610 KONA. From the Tri-Cities to Olympia to D.C., we break down the stories of the day and the people making the news. Time to get The Bottom Line on News Radio 610 KONA.
It is The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. Welcome in, hour number two, Wednesday afternoon. Rob Francis, John McKay with you. Going to put the phone lines on hold for a few minutes. And welcome back to the program. He is the founding chief executive and currently the executive vice president for the Coalition of Jewish Values, Rabbi Yaakov Menken. Rabbi Menken, welcome back. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you so much for having me back on your show.
So yesterday, maybe a shock sent around Western civilization, the Middle East, when President Trump announced that the United States was going to, quote, take ownership of the Gaza Strip, level it and rebuild the area, pull out all the IEDs, dig out all the landmines, level the buildings, rebuild everything. And people are sitting there going, what is this? What are you talking about? I've got some ideas on this. I'd love to hear your ideas on what this means and where you believe this is eventually going to wind up.
My understanding, and I've been reasonably good at interpreting Trump's actions and understanding what's going on in, you know, what's behind the scenes, what's the strategy, what he's really planning on. Now everybody's talking about how the White House backtracked on this, said he never said anything about boots on the ground. Well, guess what? He never said anything about boots on the ground. I think that what he is saying is that the United States is going to take responsibility for the effort to make sure it gets done. A lot of that is because, and let's just be blunt about it, anti-Semites believe that anything Jews own is stolen. If the Israeli army goes back in there and reoccupies this part of the Jewish homeland, they're going to say, oh, you see, they're stealing it. Oh, you see, it's ethnic cleansing. If they remove, in fact, Al Green on the floor of the House today accused Trump of wanting to do ethnic cleansing because he wants to remove these people out of the way so that they don't get blown up by the IEDs. I mean, that's Democrat thinking for you. Leave them there. We want them to get blown up. That's the humanitarian thing to do.
Well, Al Green.
Al Green for you.
Yeah. Well, Al Green doesn't think. We've known that for years. But
Clown Card Green.
Got it. Easily. One of the things that's found interesting with this, and when the president said, if you go back, it's going to end up the same way it has for 100 years. You have people that have lived in the Gaza Strip that have known nothing other than life under Hamas. They have known nothing other than living in abject poverty, having any type of international aid sent, intercepted by Hamas, having their schools and hospitals used as bases for terrorist operations and being used as human shields. They don't know any other life.
Yeah.
So if you come in and you begin to rebuild an area that has never seen anything built, maybe you put in some indoor plumbing, you have some running water, you do some things, and you bring things to these people that they have never experienced because they've never been allowed to experience. Are these the kind of things that can eventually wind up eroding some of that long-held anti-Semitism amongst the population that is not so devoutly under Hamas's wing?
I'm not a big believer in this idea that give people some education, give people some money, and their theology will go away and they'll become decent people. It really doesn't work that way. The people who talk like that really don't respect the power of religion. I am a religious person. I believe that religious observance transforms who I am. And it transforms people for good or for bad. The radical form of Islam that they are teaching in Gaza In fact, the Ahmadiyya Muslims, the guys who are like total pacifists, is a school of Muslim thought that is rejected by a lot of other Muslims sacrilege or denial of religion.
Yeah,
I know they had to say it in Hebrew.
It's heretic.
Yeah.
Heretical. There you go. It's heresy. Thank you.
Yes.
So the Ahmadiyyas are regarded as heresy, such that the only place that they can peacefully practice their religion in the entire Middle East is Israel. Because Israel hates Muslims, right? So it's the only place where all forms of Islam can be practiced freely. So the Ahmadiyyas, actually, their founding fathers said that all of the rest of the Muslim movement has this belief that jihad, which is killing the non-believer, is something that they reject and they believe is against what Muhammad taught. But that says you something very profound, that he's telling you that the other schools of thought really regard jihad, which is attacking people of other religions, attacking the non-believer. Jihad is the way they operate. And again, it's this idea, you give them some money, and you give them some education, and all of a sudden, this guy who's been raised from birth, inculcated to hate Jews, literally, to seek their genocide, all of a sudden is going to be a peaceful, love-abiding... No, it's just not that way it works. First of all, if you look at... There were Hamas videos from a couple years ago showing off how successful and wonderful they are with their five-star hotels, markets overflowing with fruits and vegetables. This is not like Africa. Gaza had indoor plumbing. But the indoor plumbing extended down into these terror tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
They built tunnels instead of building mosques and schools. Yes, Hamas was misusing a huge amount of the resources were going in there. So this idea that, if somehow we're going to blame Israel, somehow it's their problem, it's going to be ethnic cleansing of Israel. You may find they're calling it ethnic cleansing. There's only one ethnicity allowed in there right now. And it's not yours and it's not mine.
Right.
That's how Hamas operates. Don't think it only applies to Jews. Any Christian who wanders in there gets killed too.
So let me ask you this, Rabbi, because this seems like a perfect storm in a way. I mean, Hamas is weakened. Hezbollah is weakened. Egypt, in my opinion, tell me if I'm wrong here, is probably looking at this announcement and going, we can buy into this. I mean, they've got a wall that's miles thick to keep people from Gaza from getting into their country. They didn't want anybody coming into Egypt when the war was going on. They were intentionally, you're not coming here, no way. Jordan didn't want anybody coming in. So you have this perfect storm where Hamas is weakened. President Trump is saying, we're going to go in there and we're going to level everything. We're going to rebuild it. We are going to try and create some type of stability. Could you see Egypt and Jordan looking at this and saying, how can we help? Because if this becomes a stabilized area, that's better for our security as well. And it's better for anybody who has any fear of what Hamas could or couldn't do. If they're taken advantage of in a weakened state, maybe it limits their ability to be able to rebuild effectively.
Well, in a word, no.
Okay.
I think they're going to have to be cajoled into it. And, of course, as we see with Donald Trump, and this is how he operated in his first term, and he's come right back to it now with these, the tariffs that didn't actually exist on Canada and Mexico. Trump has a very good methodology of getting other leaders to do things his way. Egypt, it's not about the war. Egypt did not allow people from Gaza into Egypt at all for like the last 20 years. And why is that? Because they don't want a bunch of Hamas terrorists running around their land either. I mean, these are guys are the only thing that Gazans have been taught to excel in is barbarism, literally, for the last 20 years. That's it. So you let these people into Egypt, you let these people into Jordan, they don't want them. Nobody wants them. They love leaving them there as a problem that somehow the Jews have to solve, as if it was their fault. the idea of a Palestinian homeland. You ever heard of Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
There's been a Palestinian homeland longer than there's been Israel. 77% of Palestine is now called Jordan. They should be allowed to live there, right? Nope. Because the Jordanians don't want to have anything to do with the violent guys from Gaza. So the problem that they now have is, again, these guys and the schools that they went to, UNRWA, the UN-funded terror organization, all they taught in their schools was glorifying the killing of Jews. I mean, now they're back in their homes and they're doing performances, and little kids, again, they get up and they do these performances, show me a Zionist that I can kill him. We are the Palestine. We started the Intifada with our rocks and our stones and our knives. How many can we kill this time? This is what they teach kids from day one. So these guys have been inculcated, indoctrinated to hate. I think Trump is that's the tallest piece of the order. It's not the removal of the bombs. It's removing the people to a place of safety, but not having them blow up in such a way that they injure their new neighbors. That's the biggest problem.
Rabbi, there are some people that are making comparisons with this order, and of course it's still very early, to the Abraham Accords in President Trump's first term as far as being something landmark, revolutionary, out of the box, something that no one has thought of doing before. Is there any comparison to it? Can there be any type of a positive result out of this?
First of all, you know, like you said, the comparison to the Abraham Accords begins with the fact that it's new and different and nobody thought like this before. You know, otherwise the implementation is totally different. As to the question of can something good result from it, I think something good is immediately resulting from it, showing Trump is serious. Trump is insisting. There is no such thing as a ceasefire with Hamas. I think ceasefire is the most dangerous language that's been used in this entire conflict. If you're calling for ceasefire, you're saying, let's stop shooting first. Okay, now what about the hostages? Oh, well, like right now, by the way, this ceasefire is just an extortion deal from Hamas. But they're holding human lives here. So, unfortunately, people buckle to extortion of that kind. When the ceasefire ends, Hamas needs to be eliminated, exterminated. It's clear that Trump appreciates that, and Trump feels that way, too. Because any time you leave them the opportunity, to them, a ceasefire is an opportunity to rebuild, rearm, and do it again. Mm-hmm. Remember, the Hamas agenda is the Nazi Holocaust all over again. They're explicit about it. So, yeah, and they demonstrated on October 7th that that's what they want to do. We ought not leave them the opportunity to do it a second time, and that's what people who are calling for a ceasefire are calling for. Trump is calling for eradication of everything that's there, a totally demilitarized Gaza, a Gaza where nobody has anything more dangerous than a kitchen knife. That's how it needs to be, solidly, you know, is how it needs to be, because otherwise this will happen again.
We're talking with the executive vice president and the founder chief executive, of the Coalition for Jewish Values, Rabbi Yaakov Menken.
And Rabbi, you know, when Trump talked about the rebuilding of the area, the cleaning it, the improving it and everything, if something like that were to happen, where would you... I don't know if relocate is the right word, because you mentioned how, you know, Lebanon doesn't want any of the people that are there. Where would the people of Gaza go until this is finished, or would they be resettled somewhere else? Kind of look at that, because that sounds like it could be a little bit daunting.
Well, you know, I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for people who are displaced as a result of this. I think we have to look at this very realistically. If you look at if any other country had faced what Israel did on October 7th,
mm-hmm.
And we're not just talking about Hamas here. We're talking about the quote-unquote innocent residents of Gaza that they keep complaining about. The innocent residents of Gaza came after the Hamas fighters and kidnapped people and raped people and murdered people. It was an innocent civilian of Gaza who called up his parents from Gaza using the cell phone of a woman he had just murdered and said to his parents, I just murdered 10 Jews, and they showered him with blessings, his parents. So all those 33 people are called innocent Gazan civilians when they get killed. Any other country faced with this exact circumstance would have rendered Gaza a pile of molten glass from beginning, from day one. Everybody there would be dead. The entire thing would be leveled. They would have dragged out the hostages and murdered everybody near them, and it doesn't matter. And, you know, so in this situation, the problem is, like as I described earlier, nobody wants to take these barbarians. They have been so indoctrinated in such evil. There's a reason why the Jordanians don't want them. There's a reason why the Egyptians don't want them. There's a reason why the Lebanese. It's not because the Egyptians are racists. It's not because the Lebanese are supremacists. It's because the residents of Gaza have been taught and indoctrinated to hate and to enjoy violence. And that's what they look to do. You know, a gay person, the most suicidal thing going on is the gays for Gaza.
Yes.
You know what happens to a gay person in Gaza? And this is what they do to their own people. In fact, there's a video quite recently of someone who is suspected of just speaking out against Hamas. And there's the video shows the guy with a machine gun. This guy is shackled and blindfolded. And the guy is just shooting him in the knee and shooting him in the foot to enjoy torturing the guy until they eventually kill him. That's what Gaza looks like. That's what the people of Gaza look like. It's a culture of demonic hatred. And you're saying, oh, yeah, we're going to take them somewhere and they're going to be great people. I don't know how Trump's going to do it. The only way you're going to keep these people, keep peace around these people, is put them in cages. Oh, but we're not allowed to do that. That's racist.
Rabbi Yaakov Menken, he is the executive vice president and the founding chief executive of the Coalition for Jewish Values. Appreciate your time, sir.
Yes,
good to talk with you again. And I am sure this is not the last conversation we're going to be having on this topic or a number of others.
Thanks so much.